We are back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. 10 years ago, the city of Milwaukee, like the rest of the country, was trying to dig out from a crippling recession. The financial crisis, along with the ongoing deindustrialization of the upper Midwest, seemed to portend a rocky future for already challenged neighborhoods in Milwaukee.
And while the ensuing decade has not been an easy time, to say the least, three neighborhoods in particular saw their fortunes change through a major investment from the Milwaukee-based Zilber Family Foundation. The project was called the Zilber Neighborhood Initiative.
Reporter Andrea Waxman set out to quantify the initiative's impact on its three neighborhoods for the Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service. In the interest of full disclosure, she notes the same foundation also provided significant funding for the online publication. Andrea Waxman, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Mitch. It's nice to be here again.
Nice to have you back. It's been a while.
It has.
Let's take a step back and talk about what the initiatives were about in the first place and why they focused on the three neighborhoods that they did.
Yes, that's an interesting story. So Joseph Zilber was a philanthropist who grew up in Milwaukee. He was the son of poor Russian Jewish immigrants who owned a grocery store. His family lived above the grocery store at approximately 10th and Meineke in what is now called the Lindsay Heights neighborhood. So Mr. Zilber went on to earn a fortune in the real estate industry. And towards the end of his life, I think he was nearing 90 years old, he returned to his old neighborhood, the story goes, and was really distressed to see how much it had declined from the time that he grew up there. He felt that even though he had been poor, he had been given a lot of opportunities from the community and the city, and he could see that that wasn't really true for the children now who live there now. And he wanted to do something about that. And he decided to dedicate a large sum of money to something that was eventually called the Zilber Neighborhood Initiative. He also had relationships with nonprofit organizations in the city because he had been doing philanthropy for a while. But he really wanted to do this big effort to dedicate the money and the skills that he could bring to bear with that money to revitalize these neighborhoods that had been hit really hard by waves of economic disinvestment and displacement. So he went to a woman named Susan Lloyd, who was doing this kind of work in Chicago. She worked on several really big projects with the MacArthur Foundation there. One of them was called New Communities, and it was similar to what she and the Zilber Family Foundation eventually did in Milwaukee. In Chicago, I think they focused on 14 neighborhoods, and I think they actually had the same amount of money that were dedicated to a much smaller number of neighborhoods in Milwaukee. He dedicated $50 million and hired Susan Lloyd away from Chicago and got her to move here to head up this effort.
And presumably $50 million can have a fairly substantial impact in just three neighborhoods.
True, although money never goes as far as right. You want it to.
Part of it was about leveraging other dollars,
absolutely,
though, right?
Absolutely, and that is one of the things that Susan Lloyd and the Zilber Family Foundation did very well. They actually ended up investing more than $50 million, but they also leveraged more than that and ended up with, I think the latest estimate was $111 million. So I guess I should say neighborhoods, the first two neighborhoods that were chosen, Lindsay Heights and Clark Square, Lindsay Heights on the north side and Clark Square on the south side, were selected because there were strong nonprofit organizations embedded in those communities that had been working there for a long time, that were trusted by the residents, and that had already strong neighborhood involvement.
So the potential was there.
Absolutely. I mean, they didn't have to spend years and years building up something that these two organizations had already done. And those were in Lindsay Heights, Walnut Way Conservation Corps, which was started by Sharon and Larry Adams and their neighbors.
Sure.
They actually started Walnut Way in 2000. When Sharon Adams returned to the neighborhood that she grew up in after going to college and having a career in the East in New York. So she returned. She saw her family home and street and neighborhood in bad condition and decided she was going to do something about it.
Not unlike Joseph Zilber and his approach.
That's really interesting. Yes. Absolutely. In Clark Square, there was an organization called Journey House, and they built a community center called Journey House that connects with the largest public school in the state, Longfellow School. And Joe Zilber had been working with them for some years and knew Dr. Michelle Bria, who is the head of Journey House. And then later,
Layton Boulevard West, right?
Right. Another nonprofit called Layton Boulevard West Neighbors, which was started by the School Sisters of St. Francis in response to declining conditions in the neighborhoods that surrounded them on Layton Boulevard. There are really three neighborhoods there, but the Zilber Neighborhood Initiative thought, kind of considered it a third neighborhood. Their executive director at the time, Charlotte John Gomez, actually came to Zilber and said, we are just the kind of neighborhood that you're looking for. If you're going to add one, please consider us. She had been working with Clark Square, which is right next door, participating in some of the planning and things over there. And so it was just really an extension west for ZNI to include LBWN. But John Gomez and her and the residents in the LBWN neighborhoods were really doing a lot of good work, especially around housing.
Well, and so in the end, what is the legacy of this 10 years of effort and dollars leveraged in these three comprehensive neighborhoods?
Well, it's really a multifaceted picture, of course, and it is also ongoing, and I'm sure that Zilber will continue to be involved. But one reason that I wrote the story now is that the commitment was for 10 years, and the 10 years ended at the end of 2018. So all of the series of planning efforts that took place kind of culminated at the end of this time. Also, Susan Lloyd, the executive director, decided to step down, and her successor, Gina Stilp, took over in July, but there's been a little bit of overlap for the rest of the year. In Lindsay Heights, when Sharon Adams came back, the appearance of the neighborhood was depressing everyone. There had been so many jobs lost with the deindustrialization, particularly there in the 90s. So they focused on housing and economic development in Lindsay Heights. I think they would mostly say that the most dramatic project that they completed was the Innovation and Wellness Center. Mm-hmm. It's right on North Avenue and 16th, between 16th and 17th. There's an old brick building there that used to be a nightclub. It's been vacant for years. They undertook to raise millions of dollars to renovate this building, and they completed stage one of the building 3 years ago, and they are going to build a new building, which is expected to be completed in the third quarter of this year. The Innovations and Wellness Center focuses on business development and also health and wellness, which are two big focuses of the residents in Lindsay Heights and Walnut Way are trying to do and are doing. So in that brick building, there is a business called the Juice Kitchen, which is both a business for residents and run by residents, and it's also contributing to healthy eating. And there is the Milwaukee Center for Independence has a commercial kitchen there. So their clients work. I think they make lunches for Milwaukee Public Schools, among other things. And I believe that commercial kitchen is available for entrepreneurs during the time that MCI is not using it. And then the Fondy Food Center has their administrative offices upstairs on the second floor. And when it opened, Outpost Natural Foods had a small store. It was kind of a pop-up experiment. They decided to,
I think it's now like a cooler cabinet or something within the juice kitchen.
Well, they use it as a, for up until really recently, they used it as a kind of learning space so different people could rent it. We actually had a program there, a panel discussion. So it was a community space that you could rent and, you know, for events and markets and things. But lately, a little group of entrepreneurs have moved in and have businesses there. So I know there's a clothing store. So one of the things they've tried to do in Lindsay Heights is really help residents figure out how to have their own businesses because employment was such a problem.
What are some of the lasting legacies that you were able to see in both Clark Square and Layton Boulevard West?
Okay. Clark Square, the Journey House project is really a huge project. It's really what they call the hub of the neighborhood, the heart of the neighborhood.
This includes the football field, is that right?
The football field is a project of theirs. It's actually in Mitchell Park.
Okay.
The football field was donated to them by the Green Bay Packers. And in Clark Square, there is a lot of emphasis on youth development because, you know, partly there are just so many kids. And there's lots and lots of emphasis on youth development of all kinds, but particularly athletic. And the Journey House, though, does so many things. They have all kinds of adult education. They have citizenship and English as a second language. The neighborhood is about 70% Hispanic and about 15% white. And then the rest of it, the population there is Asian American, Native American, and other groups. The CSNI part of it, the Clark Square Neighborhood Initiative, is kind of taken over helping people with maintaining their houses, trying to increase home ownership, focusing on public safety, and also economic development of Cesar Chavez Drive, which has the residents in CSNI have brought a lot of art and culture as well as economic development. It's an important focus for them. They've established a lovely bronze statue of Cesar Chavez himself, and through that they are teaching the young people about the Latino civil rights and labor movements. I mentioned in my story that probably the biggest problem the neighbors see in their neighborhood, is Clark Square neighborhood, is a continuation of some crime and prostitution, particularly on Greenfield Avenue. Greenfield was just resurfaced. It was a really big project. It was not just patching. It was repaving.
Similar to North Avenue going through
through
the Lindsay Heights neighborhood.
The two are really about the prettiest streets in the city now. They're brand new, North Avenue and Greenfield Avenue. So when that project was going on, it was lengthy and it displaced some of the prostitution. And the neighbors have been, with CSNI, have been working really hard on that. It really disrupts life there. So they've succeeded in working. One of the residents gave me an example of how this activity was going on at a McDonald's in the neighborhood. They went and they talked to the management, and they worked some things out that improved the situation. So the neighbors in all of these neighborhoods, the residents are very, very engaged. And that is really part of the strategy of all of these organizations, is not only to develop physical things, but to kind of revitalize the connections between people, because the things that have gone on in these disinvested neighborhoods have really disrupted the fabric of community. And so involving the neighbors not only allows them to have agency over the changes that they want to see, it also helps them build relationships with each other.
And with that in mind, I know the Layton Boulevard West Neighbors Organization has historically been a strong one. What has the impact of the investment from the Zilber Neighborhood Initiative meant to that organization and that neighborhood?
Well, one of the things, probably the main thing, is that they have very beautiful houses. And when the School Sisters of St. Francis started to see a kind of disinvestment that happened in those other neighborhoods beginning there, they really decided to try to address it and slow it down. And it never really got quite as bad in these three neighborhoods. They are called Silver City, which is west of 27th and south of Pierce. Mm-hmm. And then right below that is Burnham Park and then Layton Park are the three neighborhoods that are kind of lumped together in the Turnham Layton Boulevard West neighbors. So they had a project called Turnkey Homes. And this started even before Zilber came in, but the Zilber money helped them really take it, scale it up. And it involved taking foreclosed and empty houses and really marketing them and improving them, buying them, fixing them up, bringing people to go on tours to see the homes that were available, talking with the people in the neighborhood about talking to their friends and relatives about these homes. And they really stabilized this kind of moving out and abandoning homes and things that was going on through this Turnkey Homes project. And so their focus is also on health and education and youth and all of those things that everybody needs to have a healthy life and a happy neighborhood and community. But because of the situation with the houses and the availability of the houses, that's probably been the project that's had the most impact.
And in the end, the 10 years is up, but it sounds like in all three neighborhoods that are part of this initiative, there's plenty of work left to be done.
There is, and there is a really engaged and energized group of residents in every neighborhood, and that is making their lives so much better. Susan Lloyd said to me, living in poverty can be very isolating. And this just brings back a sort of set of connections and a fabric of a community that is very powerful and will continue to – these residents will have taken things into their own hands.
Well, it is a great story. And Andrea Waxman, thank you so much for telling it.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure to be here again.
Andrea Waxman is a reporter with the online Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service. You'll find a link to her series on the Zilber Neighborhood Initiative at wuwm.com.